We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's your True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle 4, Aston Villa 0. That's right. Newcastle are rising up the Premier League. For a bit, we were third, we're still fourth. I'm Charlotte Robson, joined today by Ben Wade, Si Campbell and Kyle Thompson. Thank you all for getting up this early Sunday morning and talking about yesterday's absolutely class game at St. James's Park. We are on Patreon. We have a couple of levels for you actually on Patreon now. We've got this podcast ad-free. We've got a half membership and we've got a full membership for £8 per month. You get absolutely tons of extra content. We love making it. We love having you there, so please do consider it. But let's get into the game, shall we, Simon? Yesterday, was it just another example of us being class? What did yesterday tell you about Newcastle United?
I mean, yes it was. Yes, yesterday was an example of how much we've grown since earlier in the season, where We are now getting used to the fact that we're no longer the underdogs. Teams are coming to St. James's Park and trying to batten down the hatches and stop the game of football from happening. They're letting us have the ball and just sitting in, because that worked for some of the teams early in the season. It worked for Forest in the first half and in the first game. It certainly worked for Crystal Palace and Bournemouth. Other teams like Wolves and Brighton have done the same thing to us and made it really difficult. This was the same, certainly for the first 40 minutes, we had that to deal with. But look, we've come away with a 4-0 win, and I'm a little bit disappointed that it was only 4, because we've learned how to handle that, how to do it, and how to be patient, yet keep probing, keep trying, and then we got the goal we deserved. And then, my God, did we punish them for putting us through that first 40 minutes. So yeah, it is an example of how good we are. It is testament to Eddie Howe and the team for not panicking and worrying about how we're going to break teams down. They were confident in the way they've set up. That, you know, we haven't really changed anything. We're still playing pretty much the same 11 in the same formation with the same style. It's just a bit quicker, a bit more intense, and our fitness levels have clearly improved since the start of the season, and just everything came together there in a wonderful victory.
I think that's it, isn't it? Like we've just improved so much, but like, we didn't panic. We didn't think, oh God, they're really trying to compress us. They've come here for a point. They're just going to try and stop us at every turn. It wasn't that. It wasn't. There were a few sloppy passes in the first half because they were on us so much. But it was like our heads didn't go. It was just like, that's fine. They won't be able to keep this up. As soon as a goal happens, this game opens wide. Kyle, what about you? Do you think this is the best we're going to see, or do you think it gets better from here?
I thought we peaked at Tottenham last week. I thought that was kind of the standard that they had to meet, but they've surpassed that in that second half. And like, whatever standard we seem to set, they seem to surpass it every single time. So like, I know ceilings has been mentioned past couple of weeks by certain managers, but I don't think we definitely don't have one with this team. It's just so united, so on the same page, so efficient, and we've proven that with another amazing win. I think the first half was like 20 minutes long with all the time wasting and stuff, but like I said before, we really punished them for trying to time waste and play the shithousery kind of tactic against Wayne with an amazing second half. Like, we're just, the Villa couldn't cope. They've got some good individual players. I was speaking to Ben about that in the car on the way here. Like, they have got some really good individuals. Douglas Luiz, who we tried to buy in the summer. Like, Bermuda, who's been decent for them. He wasn't decent yesterday. He spent most of the time on his arse. But, you know, like, it was for them to come here with an idea of we're going to try and nick a 0-0 with the investment they've got in their team really complements how well we are playing at the minute. And just an unbelievable second half. It was like euphoric for like 30-40 minutes of just pure dominance and watching my team play the best football I've definitely seen, because I wasn't a massive I wasn't a football fan, because I was only born in 97, so I didn't see the
Kyle's our resident baby.
Yeah,
I remember 96.
I didn't see the Entertainers team. My earliest memories were like the late Bobby Robson era, so this is definitely the best football I've seen as a Newcastle fan for sure. Like, just unbelievable, and I know we're going to get better and better, and it's just mad to think.
Just talking about how we handled that first half now, like, I swear to God, the ball was dead more than it was in play. You're right, we played about 20 minutes of football, and you couldn't call it football because it just stop, start. And we were really sloppy, actually, first half. I like to think that that Tindall or probably Tindall, gave them all a kick up the arse at half time because they needed a bollocking. But in terms of how Villa approached the game, I'm still getting used to it. Nobody's had to do that to Newcastle United for 15 years. Come here and try and shut the game down. And when you talk about some of the other managers you've mentioned, ceilings, they would be Pep and Klopp would be absolutely furious and complaining about how that was anti-football and how it wasn't right. I'm so glad that Eddie Howe has so much more class. And he didn't talk about them at all. He just talks about how much we've improved and worked out how to handle that situation, not complaining that a team with less resources, because let's face it, that's what it is. Try to play a different game. We've got to get used to that and learn how to deal with it. And we did, didn't we?
We've got the hood down, haven't we? We're cruising in the sun. Hood's down. Cool wind in my hair.
That's exactly it. That's it, Ben. So, Ben, like, let's talk about the day as a whole. Like, rainy, grey, kind of miserable, but fucking great.
The days you get up for, isn't it? That's what we live for. Yeah, I mean, rank. I mean, that was the thing. I thought the rain and the kind of the wet pitch would kind of benefit us in terms of our slick pass and stuff. And you're right, so it was so sloppy at times. I think we struggled getting the ball up to Wilson initially, didn't we? He was getting kind of ragdolled a bit by Mings in the first half and not really getting any joy from it. And I think the ball was coming back and it was kind of quite tight sort of around that midfield. There was a lot of kind of sort of skillful or little clever touches or passes that we're trying, and it was just like going to nobody, clear space, whatever. And it was probably wasn't the best, the best 45 or whatever it was, 55, 75, 95, whatever it ended up being. But you spot on side. Like, obviously there was clearly a kind of a reaction to say, lads, these are rubbish. Like, let's start to put a few passes together and we'll go. But yeah, I mean, it was such a good second half. And as you say, just proper euphoric. I mean, me and Ty were bouncing out of the ground, like, right, forget I've got to get home in like 20 minutes to put my baby daughter to bed. Where we're going for
prints. The funniest thing is,
how many shots can we get in before I need to get home?
You were driving and you'd had one beer all day. And you said to me after the game, like, I feel pissed just from the euphoria, from the energy that you get from a home crowd like that.
Well, that's what I want to touch on as well before our break. It's like the home crowd, and I said it on our Instant Reaction podcast on Patreon, it felt like a festival. It felt like I was at a gig or something, like, where, like, there was just noise. Like, okay, the first half the first half could have totally dampened the entire atmosphere, but it didn't. Once that penalty went in, we will talk about the goals and we will talk about the performance in more detail in the second half of the show. Once that went in, it felt like the whole stadium, bar the rapidly disappearing Aston Villa fans, just knew that this was ours for the taking and that there were going to be a lot more goals than this. And it was bouncing. Like, it was so, like, we were in the corner, me, Ben and Si, and it was, it's always noisy there, but you just knew that the whole stadium was on its feet, basically, and making noise. It was class. We've got that on the match day as well that Si put together, so a little plug there.
You know it's a great atmosphere when we start saying we're going to win the league. Mm. Like, you know. It was just a proper party time, and basically because the lads are so good on the pitch, like, we're able to do what we wanted pretty much when we wanted. And as Si says, I don't know how Villa kept it to four. Like, honestly, give them a pat on the back, whoever that caretaker manager is, give him the job full time. To get out of that game only conceding four, he did a great job with a back four, including Tyrone Mings and Ashley Young.
God, Mings was terrible.
Get him in the coaching staff Southgate for the World Cup. That was some miracle he produced yesterday.
We'll take a break there. That's it for part one. We will be back after these messages from our lovely sponsors. If you don't like them, as I say, join us on Patreon. You can just hear this one ad-free. You can hear a few more, and then you can hear the whole shebang for £8 a month. We'll be back after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Part two of the True Faith podcast. Let's talk in more detail about that game. Let's talk we'll move from the defence through to the attack. So we have the best defence in the league. And again, another home game yesterday where the opposition didn't have a chance, really. They didn't have a chance. They didn't have a shot on target. Did they have a shot on target at all?
No, that's right, Kyle. They did not have one shot on target.
They didn't?
As per the preview when you said, That's big words or something you said when I said they won't have a shot on target.
Well, there you go.
I just told you.
To be fair, that's bang on.
Yeah, Simon, lottery numbers next, please. That would be great. How do teams break this down? How do teams get through this? Like, okay.
Pray. Hope for miracles.
Nick Pope, are you worried he's going to forget how to save? Ben, like what's going on? How are they going to do this?
I mean, he was like top of the saving charts, wasn't he? Like 3 games ago or something before they started going on this like ridiculous run of just saying, right, do you know what? We're just going to shut everyone down.
You don't need to do your job anymore.
Yeah, and like Popey, get your rest those hands for guitar. We'll take it from here.
It's quite handy, isn't it? Because we've got Maxi and Isaac coming back. Where are they going to play? We're going to just drop Pope and just play one of them. So we need another position for
Yeah, Shelby and Cole just like be class on the ball.
Well, that's it. Like, but it's a serious question. Like, who comes to Newcastle? You know, who comes to St James's Park and thinks we can break down that defence?
Well, we've seen it's only City. Like, yeah. they got three with Haaland and De Bruyne and whoever else. I don't know who else played that game.
But to that point, though, you know, that was in August. And we are getting better and better. We're better than we were in August, right? Mm. Like, what? I mean, I don't know who's going to come. We've got Chelsea next at home, right? And Palace as well in the cup game. I can't really see them scoring, especially watching Chelsea yesterday. So, what do you think about that?
Villa, to be fair, didn't come to try and score.
That's
did
true.
They? It felt like they were 0-0 was all they were targeting. So whilst we defended well, and especially at the time, the only defending we had to do yesterday was when we gave them the ball, which we did loads in the first half by, as Ben said before, just making loads of mistakes. But yeah, I think it was more, yesterday was more about how much better we were in their half and how well we just got the goals we needed to win the game. Botman would be buzzing with it with a clean sheet. In fact, does he get a clean sheet because he went off, Ben?
I was just going to say, to be fair, actually, because we're forgetting, as bad as it was, there were a couple of moments in the first half. Byrne obviously makes a massive block on the Buendia challenge when he goes down for like half an hour or whatever he was out for. And then there was a couple of times where Botman kind of got out of tricky situations. Yeah. But like that's the key, isn't it? Is like individuals are like being massive at the big moments you need them to be. They're doing exactly what they need to do. Burns block kind of epitomised that. He probably, we were just saying, he probably didn't have like the best game he's ever had, but he did, like, the moment you needed him, he was there to do it and put in a massive block. And that's why we're so good. And then you've got Shaw and Botman just look so comfortable together. Like, they're so, like, that they're confident on the ball. And it's like, if we'd have to do a little bit of defending, like, we'll take care of it, whatever. But it's interesting because I thought that Bailey, like, £30 million sign or whatever it was, like, 2 years ago, like, I watched a pre-season game, like, when I was, like, bored, like, one morning, nothing on, and Villa, I can't remember who they're playing, might have been Villa Man U or something, and he looked quite, like, dangerous and, like, quite a good player, and I was like, oh, like, he might actually come and do something. He was absolutely useless yesterday, like, just did not, I think he got round Shaw once for that Wendy chance, didn't he? Like, Shaw kind of hesitated, but they just, considering, like, he's a quick, fast winger, they put him on Burn, and I don't remember him doing anything really. And it just goes to show, like, when you've got a bit of confidence, like, the players, they're confident kind of taking their man one-on-one and dominating that kind of duel. And and as you say, it's hard. I mean, especially seeing, we've just seen Son and Kane, who everybody raves about being kind of the best strike partnership in the Premier League ever. Like, they only managed one, I think only two shots on target or something and one goal from it. Like, that there isn't much more in terms of challenges that we've got left to face as this back four. So are we predict we're not going to concede another goal for us? I'm getting close to it.
That's what we're getting at. I think the other thing is that when we do win the ball back, or when we just by being in the right positions and being intimidating, we force mistakes and the ball just finds its way back to a Newcastle player.
Yeah.
We don't then panic and hoof it back so that they get the ball back. We're so good now, and this probably comes down to Kieran Trippier more than anyone. It's the calmness is when we get the ball. Trippier and Botman are probably the perfect examples of this, actually. If they've got even half a second to get their head up and try and find a pass out or go back to Pope, and they trust Pope with a pass to feet when there's players around them. They trust each other with a quick pass to feet when there's players around them and try and play it out. Sometimes we do run out of ideas and get rid of it, but most of the time we're playing it out. So that's just another part of our defending that I'm just not used to. We never used to do it. Every time we got the ball back, it was a panic and get rid and kick it out of play, kick it out for throw-ins. I don't think we ever concede throw-ins. I don't think we ever booted out, really. We kicked it up to Mings maybe once or twice, but other than that, we just...
He can't do anything with it. Like, he was terrible yesterday, so it didn't
even matter. That was genuinely tactics. Like, get Mings on the ball. He could be our 12th man. He could do anything. He's a proper wild card.
All right, we'll move on from the defence, which was magnificent. It's not all about Nick Pope, as you rightly say there. Botman, Byrne, Cher, like, Trippier. What a group of players. Like, just fantastic. Also, shout out to Trippier, who, I don't know if you saw, when Lascelles came on, he ran straight over and put the armband on Lascelles. I just love that man. Yeah. He's just a proper team player, isn't he?
It's Combo
just,
lad, isn't he?
It's amazing. So let's talk attack. We'll go back to the midfield, I'm sure, but we'll talk attack. Was it just the secret to all of this? Was it just keeping Wilson fit? That was Wilson's fifth goal, I think, in 9 games. 2 yesterday. 5 goals in 9 games. He's just on fire. He's playing for an England call up. Obviously, like, that's a sort of mark of contention between all of us, I think, because, like, kind of want him to stay fit for us, like, help us win the league. I think you posted that on Twitter this morning, Si. but also, like, he's playing out of his skin at the moment. Like, he changes our game. Was that it all along, Kyle? Was it just that if we'd had him, we'd already, from the start, we'd already be top of the league?
Callum Wilson scores goals. Like, he's just like, in terms of, it's not just the goal scoring either, it's his build up play and stuff like that. And when you get him involved in those key areas in the final third of the field, obviously we struggled in the first half a little bit, but you look at it and he's just been outstanding. Like, Gareth Southgate was at the match yesterday, so was the Brazilian manager. But if you're Gareth Southgate, you've surely got to take Callum Wilson as your second option to Harry Kane. So obviously Kane's going to get picked no matter what, but as a different option, someone that can get in between the areas in the box, and a clinical goal scorer. Look no further than Callum Wilson. I watched Calvert-Lewin yesterday. He was shit. Like, you've got a good number of strikers that's in contention with him. Ivan Toney's probably the only one outside of Harry Kane that can really say anything to have contention over Wilson. If Wilson doesn't go to the World Cup and Tyrone Mings does, I know they're different positions, but it's nothing short of a criminal act from Gareth Southgate. So
get her in prison.
Couldn't agree more.
Honestly, it's like, yeah, Callum Wilson really completes that attack. And yeah, it seems whatever winger that we do have on the field, he adapts to that. So obviously when Murphy came on, for a rare, unbelievable performance from Jacob Murphy. He managed to adapt to that. He hit the crossbar and obviously he had another chance as well. But like he just adapts to every type of situation. And yeah, he's Callum Wilson for England, but don't get injured.
Yeah, that's the fear, isn't it, with Callum Wilson, is that he will get injured and then where are we? But having said that, and we talked about this as we were leaving the stadium yesterday, it was six in nine, I think, yesterday. It was fifth and sixth. Sorry, I just want to correct myself from before. Having said that, as we were leaving the stadium, we were talking, you know, a couple of months ago, like, where are our goals coming from if Callum Wilson can't score? Well, it turns out they're coming from Miggy. They're coming from Joe Linton and all other places. Obviously, he changes the game. It's like there's no two ways about it. And Isak is not fit, so it'll be interesting to see, like, as Si says, there's now heavy competition for that sort of forward position. But yeah, I just Callum Wilson just stretches the game, changes. It's just amazing to watch.
Yeah, it's a good question. Was it all just down to Callum Wilson, and when he was missing we couldn't score goals? And I think it coincided with Miggy being a bit lacking confidence, which has come full circle. He's the most confident player on the pitch now, and he's scoring goals for fun. Joe Linton got a goal that he deserved yesterday, albeit it was just off a rebound from Wilson, who should have got a hat-trick. But yeah, I think we've had some really good games where Wilson hasn't even been the centre of it. I don't think he scored in the Brentford game, did he?
No.
You know, he scored five goals without him there, but he is
got
crucial.
He's crucial
to the attack. He does cause defenders have to defend much deeper. You know, Mings and Concha. Have to defend a lot deeper, and the between them are panicking the whole time. Whenever the ball comes to Wilson, and he does it, the pass is accurate, and he's got the ball. Like they just couldn't get it off him. He holds it up so well, and players like Miggy have so much more confidence that he's going to do that they make those runs. That Joe Linton's up with him, and Willock and Bruno are getting much closer to him because they trust that centre forward. And again, I hate to make this sound like I think the opposite about Isak. I'm sure Isak will have those qualities as well when we get to see him probably at Christmas now. But yeah, I think
he's a different player. He's got a different style of play. So
we've got to give Wilson some credit for being class, but I think also Howe has worked with the rest of the lads and the confidence is there. And I think we win that game yesterday without Wilson, but he was meant. We probably don't win it 4-0.
He's just complete though, isn't he? Like he's good at everything. Like, I mean, Mings is a big lad. Like his kind of bread and butter is he's in the team to win headers and stuff. And yet, Murphy whips a ball into the box into the danger zone, and who beats him to the header? Callum Wilson, who's probably like giving away like a half a foot or something in height. He's just class. And then he obviously we were getting frustrated in the first half that he kind of Mings was all over him, and when he was backing into him, but he was strong enough to hold him off a lot of times. He turned him once and didn't get a free kick when he was pulled back, and then he's got the pace. Like you saw. I think it was last week, there was a point where kind of the ball was played into him, and he makes a brilliant first touch and runs away from Eric Dier and goes back to your point. Like, these are the England defenders that he's played in back-to-back weeks, and he's embarrassed the pair of them. so it's like, Southgate, you've clearly watched both of these games. Like, how can you not take this lad when you're picking those two? Like, and they look to be signed, sealed and delivered on the bloody plane.
Yeah.
Why are you not taking the lad that's pulling the pants down on live TV to the world, showing them how to play against them? I mean, the Brazil manager was there. Like, he's probably rubbing his hands at the fact of the thought of facing Tyrone Mings in that England team, and the fact that Wilson might not be there. Like, it'd be, I mean, Wilson would have been giving him nightmares, I think, if he does go. But yeah, it was a class, like, as I say, complete performance from Wilson. He does everything. And scores all kinds of goals. I mean, the penalty like was massive, wasn't it? I mean, talk about
amazing
pressure.
Going straight through the middle as well. Like the confidence to do that.
And that's it. We needed that kind of that is the goal. Like we just missed that in a few of the games, didn't we? You mentioned the Bournemouth and Palace and stuff. Well, obviously, we just needed that kind of goal to alleviate the pressure and kind of open the floodgates. And they were well and truly busted open yesterday. The damn buster.
I mentioned confidence there, and I think that's something that we have to touch on. Like, this team is transformed, not just in ability and sort of camaraderie and all of that stuff, but in confidence. Like, and no player typifies that more than Miguel Almirón for me. That was 6-6, I think, yesterday, 6 goals in 6 games. And they're not just like little dinks in, they're like absolutely amazing, like world-class goals. I was watching the highlights this morning before we came down here, and that he just, from the moment he gets the ball, the confidence to, because he's quite far away from the goal, the confidence to just get it in the net, the skill involved and the speed involved as well for no one to catch up with him. What next? What's he going to do next?
You know what? I want to say sorry to Miguel Almirón for complaining about his one-footedness, because this is why he plays on the right, because he can cut in and ping that shot, which he's now done 4 or 5 times. Yeah, we were just wrong. I have to accept that every time we say something that's critical of this team, Eddie Howe comes out and explains to us or shows us, demonstrates why we were wrong. And yeah, you're absolutely right about his confidence. I think what was also lovely to watch about Miggy was that even at 4-0, for like the last 20 minutes, he was still running around trying to win the ball in their half. He was still chasing players down. He was tracking back. He was covering. He was just working so hard and doing it all with a smile on his face. And the way he celebrated when he got the penalty, like he goes into the Leasers and he's like, yes! Like he's just absolutely buzzing to play for Newcastle at the moment. I think that it all plays into it. So he's enjoying his football so much. And we always knew he was a confidence player, but my God, I didn't realise he was this good.
Yeah. It's that Howe effect as well. I mean, Howe said after the game that he's running out of words to describe how good Miggy's goals are. Just, they're all so good. Like, it is. You lose like language when you look at goals like that, don't you? I think we've got Southampton next week. That's his for the taking. Surely he's going to get 7-7, Kyle.
I mean, it'll be the next month, so he's got to start putting his goals in for the Goal of the Month competition, which is all his, by the way, this month. But yeah, Miggy Almirón, I mean, his goal last week as well at Tottenham, just, he wouldn't have done that 12 months ago, but yeah. Looking forward, beating the player and then putting it under the goalkeeper, just like yesterday, getting the ball, putting it on his left, and like it seems nobody can stop him. It's like, I think he scored like 9 goals in 100 games in his first 100 games for Newcastle, which is crazy to think he's got 6-6. Like, Eddie Howe was like, they transformed him. He must be putting something in the orange juice. Like, it's just, I think it's just a bit, it's mad, but like.
He definitely drinks orange cordial, doesn't he, Mickey?
Yeah, that's very Almirón.
Let's hope Water aren't listening.
But it's just brilliant to see, because I know I've said it a couple of times now, but with the right coaching and the right amount of training and stuff like that, you're starting to see the best of Miggy Almirón. I mean, Steve Bruce played him in midfield.
I don't want to talk about Steve.
I know, but like, it's just, you look at how, like, getting the best out of players, and like, I think like Maxi came on with 5 minutes to go, and it was like, for the first time ever, like Maxi coming on, it's like, oh, Miggy's going off.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not Maxi's coming on, great. It's like, oh, we're 4-0 up, but like, Miggy's going off, it's a shame.
Maxi coming on used to be our insurance, right? It's like, he would, you know, around that 60
minutes. He's going to have to play his way into this team.
I agree, totally agree with you. Like, it would be 60 minutes, nothing's happened. Like, oh, we'll have to bring Maxi on and hope he doesn't get injured and like, try and change the game and get some creativity going. Now it's just like, give Miggy a standing ovation, give him the opportunity to get clapped off the pitch because he's had such a good game. I think, you know, it is down to Eddie Howe. There was a point a couple of months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, when we had a lot of injuries, where I was like, maybe this isn't, like, maybe they're overdoing it, maybe it's not. But I guess we just needed to get a bit more used to it, because teams bedded in to all of that intensity really, really nicely. All right, so we'll talk about the midfield a little bit now. I think we've talked defence, attack, and we'll do our review show on our Patreon as well, as we can go further into all of this. But as you've said rightly, Kyle, the Brazil manager, Tite, is that how he's... Tite? Was there... I'm never sure how to say that. I always get names wrong. Long-term listeners will know that. He was there at St. James's Park to see Bruno. He also got the pleasure of seeing Joe Linton. Joe Linton moving him into midfield changed the game. He was sort of playing out a little bit wider with Willock in the first half, which was getting shut down, moved him into midfield with Longstaff, and he and Longstaff just gave them no time on the ball, the opposition no time on the ball. Ben, what are your thoughts on these two? Do you think Joe Linton's now in with a shout now that Tite's seen him, or do you think he was just fully there for Bruno?
Well, it's another scandal that Joe Linton doesn't get in this Brazil squad, and you've got Fred and
Casemiro and Leighton.
Yeah, like some absolute jokers playing in the league. But I mean, he the thing with Joe Linton is he does give you a bit of versatility in terms of he started up on the left, and obviously we said he kind of struggled a little bit to get into the game. I think he wasn't getting the ball kind of in dangerous positions where he could get at Matty Cash to kind of put him under pressure. But there was a couple of balls where kind of the ball went up to him, and his touch is absolutely class. Like he rarely loses the ball, and he's just such a powerful figure. I mean, once he did move back into midfield, there was a point in the second half, I think, where Tyrone Mings was carrying the ball out and kind of got to probably just over the halfway line, and Joe Linton just comes out of absolutely nowhere and just smashes into him.
Oh, it was such a moment that
yeah,
in the game.
It was like, I mean, I said it was like two worlds colliding, like it was two big lads. It was class, like, but he just, like, that's the thing, he's got that strength to go and take on like a big kind of centre back, but he's also got a little bit of class as well. I mean, as I say, it was a bit sloppy in the first half, and kind of, he wasn't the only one, but there was a few kind of wry passes or kind of poor touches. But wanted to clean that up in the second half, and as you say, once he was kind of moved into his more natural position in midfield, where I think he's just able to get into the game more often. The problem was we weren't getting him the ball in the first half. When he's in midfield, he can pick the ball up and make those driving runs, or he's able to kind of get back and win the ball back for us, and then kind of start things. So I think, he's another player that's got a hell of a lot to offer. Like, I hope he doesn't go to the World Cup, because Brazil would be stronger for it. But, I mean, it was a really good performance to put on when you're trying to kind of showcase yourself to get into that, the national team. Like, I'm buzzing for him that he was able to get on the score sheet and put in a really good performance, and especially against Luiz as well for Villa, who I think is obviously in contention as well. Out of the two of them, you would say I barely noticed Luiz, whereas it was our two boys, Bruno and Joe Linton, were the ones that you would say looked kind of the dominating players. So really, really pleased for him that he was able to kind of put his one of his better performances on the pitch there.
Yeah, I agree. First half, I think me and you kept saying to each other, he looks like he's not really used to playing, because he is normally in midfield. But you got to remember, we were 3-0 up, and he had scored before he moved back into midfield. So it's probably harsh to say that. I've seen a lot of comments on Twitter this morning saying we were better once he moved back into midfield. And you could probably say we were, because we just kept battering them after that point. But we were 3-0 up, and we'd already won the game. They'd completely given up. But yeah. I think that the other thing, Tite, watching that game, he's probably got his scouts now looking into Dan Burns' like history to see if he's got any Brazilian like relatives. He's like, does he play for England? No, right. See if he's got like a grandma or something.
Just, can you add like Enio onto the end of your name, Dan? I think that's enough these days, isn't it?
But yeah, I think I wouldn't in the next game drop Joe Linton for Maximan, because let's say Maximan's fit, it is a selection headache for Howe because he is a good player. But the three midfielders, I think we haven't talked about Longstaff. I thought Willock was excellent for 70 minutes and getting closer to being in with a chance of, he's desperate for a goal and he needs a goal. But he was still like, everything came through him, that the first goal came from Willock cutting inside. The ball goes to Wilson, then he plays it through to Miggy, who gets the pen, obviously. But I think at first half, the only player who looked like threatening was Willock, and he's the kind of player, when we are up against a brick wall of 10 men behind the ball, Villa, Willock is offering a lot there. Longstaff on the flip side, covering loads of ground, doing it. He's improving week on week, and whilst first half, some of the sloppy passes were definitely Longstaff, equally, he was just in one corner of the pitch 1 second, and then the next minute, he's back covering Dan Burnett, left back, you know, he's all over the place. You just can't drop anyone on that team. So for Maximan, I think the only way, we've got to keep playing those four midfielders. So Joe Linton keeps his place for me in that forward place until something changes.
It's interesting. I mean, you say, well, it was fantastic 70 minutes. I was getting a little bit frustrated with him in the first half, because I think he just wasn't in the game enough. And it's not necessarily his fault. I think he was picking up some really good positions where he was him and Joe Linton probably had loads of space because it was all going down the right, but we just weren't able to get the kind of the ball over to them where they could could hurt them, or they were, when they did get the ball, they were kind of taking too many touches or whatever. But you're right, kind of when they started to click and we were able to kind of get the ball through them, like he's just a brilliant carrier. When you've got Willock on the ball, like he's fantastic in transitions and stuff. I mean, that Leicester goal last season is kind of the epitome of what you get from Willock, isn't it? Where he makes that like 70-yard run and then puts a brilliant ball in. Obviously, it was deflected, but brilliant ball in for Bruno. And it's like, it just adds so much in that energy and that kind of, it's just like that like explosive burst, isn't it? And on like turn of a sixpence or whatever there, he can then put teams under pressure. And he was brilliant at that. I think that's what, obviously it's probably hard for Longstaff to do it, but that's kind of almost what Longstaff needs to add, because I think he was getting some great positions yesterday and Bruno was finding him quite a few times, but there was a couple of times where he maybe just didn't read the pass or he would get into the position and then his cross would get blocked or whatever. But I thought it was a really, really good, like as a three, Bruno, Willock and Longstaff, they dominated kind of their opposing threat. I know technically it was like two holding and Buendia kind of pushed further on, but that's kind of where we dominated the game. And it was just another progression, I think. Hopefully, as I say, Longstaff, if he can add a bit more in terms of his offensive game, and his passing's been a bit awry the last few games and it wasn't great in the first half, but it got better. I think if he can kind of clean up his game a bit more, then that is like a proper class unit. And then you've got Shelvey and obviously Joe Linton potentially at times if you need to kind of come back into that. It's a really, really strong unit.
Yeah, well, that's it. Sorry, Kyle. They've all got their places in the team now, but they've got Shelvey and, like I say, Joe Linton, who can play midfield. So it's on them now to keep their place, because if their standards slip, there's other players who will snap at the opportunity now to come in the team and take that space. But yeah, you were kind of right in that first half. Me and you were both getting frustrated at all of those players for what seemed like a bit lethargic. We were a bit slow, decision making was slow, and we didn't seem to want to get at them as much. But on reflection, I think that was just because of the way Villa were playing in that first half. They were playing like we did just after Eddie Howe took over in early January last year. Like every game was a relegation 6-pointer. They were getting behind everything. They were, as soon as they lost the ball, they were getting everyone in and making it really difficult for us. And I think we were just tired out. But what prevailed was that they were never going to be able to do that for 90 minutes, and as soon as they ran out of steam, we absolutely punished them.
I think it was the first goal, and they, as soon as their game plan kind of shattered, they had to come out, and the second they came out, it was just
they couldn't handle it.
They just could not cope. Like the defence of Villa couldn't cope, the midfield couldn't cope, and that's why I think Joe Linton definitely gets in over Douglas Luiz for the squad, because you just look at the midfield. He didn't For someone that's been talked up so much, Douglas Luiz, he didn't get a look in yesterday, like any way, shape or form. He was just dominated in midfield. And like you look at players that Villa have got in midfield, like John McGinn and stuff like that, they've got some decent players in midfield, but none of them had any impetus on the game or even tried to take a stranglehold, because Bruno, Longstaff, Willock just had the game on total lockdown. And one thing that wasn't mentioned was that Willock and Joe Linton seemed to intertwine a little bit between their positions, which I think is really smart, because like you get it depending on how the game goes, and I think this is how we've been able to open teams up at home in comparison to the Bournemouth and Crystal Palace games, is because we're changing positions as it goes into the game. So some minutes you'll see Joe Linton forward, some games Willock, so it intertwines all the time and it offers something different and keeps them on their toes, and as seen yesterday, Villa couldn't handle it.
Absolutely, and I think the word you used there was dominant. We were absolutely dominant yesterday as soon as we got that first goal. Really, before that, we all knew that goal was coming. I think if nobody else wants to add any more, we will leave it there for today. Newcastle United rising like a phoenix out of the ashes. Everybody, I think, is sitting up and taking note. Ben?
I just want to do a little shout out for Diego Carlos and Luca Dean, who apparently turned down us to go to...
Don't want to be in a relegation battle.
Brighter pastures at Villa. You've got what you deserve, lads. Have that shit sandwich.
On that really nice note, thank you, Ben. We will leave it there. As I've said, we're on Patreon. You know that. Thanks for sticking with us. We will be back this week with loads more podcasts. Thank you. Take care.